For our meditation today, we're looking at Psalm 129. Please turn there with me. Psalm 129, as we continue in the Songs of Ascents. God moved this psalmist to write, "Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth," let Israel now say. "Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back, they made their furrows long. Jehovah is righteous, he has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turn back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, 'The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of Jehovah.'" When we sing this, it has kind of a grim tune to it. But it is grimness of judgment upon those who hate Christ and those who hate Christ's church. Now again, this is part of the Songs of Ascents, those sung by the men and boys 12 years and older who had to go from, well, nearby, but also from the distant corners of Israel and everywhere in between, three times a year to the temple for the special feasts. Now, girls and women and younger boys might come. They were allowed to come, but they didn't have to. But all the men, that is, boys 12 years and older, up through as old as, well, old enough that you could shuffle along and get to Jerusalem, would be going these three times a year. And perhaps at this point they're gazing upon Jerusalem, or continuing to gaze upon Jerusalem, and thinking in their day, whatever day it might be, about the persecutions of the people of God. That persecution, of course, has gone on long. It wasn't long after the fall in the garden that Cain murdered Abel. It wasn't long since the wicked were nearly triumphant in the world and God had to deliver Noah and his family with water. It wasn't long in the, as we look at the history of creation and all, since the deliverance that came about from Egypt. And we don't know when this psalm was written. It really doesn't matter. We can think of other times when the ungodly, the wicked, sought to destroy the true Zion of God, the people of God. Time and again they did this. And all through it, God kept his people safe. They tried with all their might. They tried with all in their heart. But they did not prevail. That is, children, they didn't succeed. Now, it could be, it was, that they caused problems, that they caused pain, that they caused difficulty for the people of God for a time. In fact, it was great for a time. The picture that is made here by the psalmist, moved by the Holy Spirit, is of someone's back being run over by a plow, or back being beaten and put into agony because of the whips and the scourges of the wicked. And there were welts and cuts, just like a plow over a field. But though that endured for a time, God brought deliverance. The wicked did not, do not, shall not prevail over Jesus Christ and his church. Rather, in the second half of this psalm, we see what happens. This is partly a prediction, partly a curse upon those who are wicked, who hate the Lord and his Christ, who hate the Christ and his people. Here is what is about to happen to them. They who proudly sought to destroy the King of Kings, who sought to destroy the people of the King, are themselves put to shame and turned back. They are like grass on housetops. Now, we find that an interesting image. We think grass on housetops. It's not so weird. Some of us have moss on our housetops. And there is a courthouse in Indiana that has a tree growing out of the roof. But you've got to remember that most of the houses in Bible times in Israel were built of what we would call adobe, or of baked clay. And when you were gathering up the clay, there might be some grass seed in there. And so on the roof of the house, with a little bit of rain, it might be that the grass seeds would sprout up for a little while. But clay isn't too nutritive for plants. They don't do well in it. And much of the time there in Israel, it wouldn't be sprinkles of rain falling upon the grass. It would be beams of warm, no, hot sunshine blazing down upon it. The grass would spring up for a time just like the wicked do, but the heat, the blaze of the sun, the blaze of God's anger and retribution would crisp them up. Now, they might grow, but there wouldn't be enough of them to, well, have like in a wheat field. There wouldn't be enough there to bother with, like with a hay field. And so they'll be withering. They will be left there to die. They won't have any value to them, unlike a wheat field. There won't be there won't be any good coming from them. And most scary of all, no one will pronounce God's blessing upon them. No one will pronounce that. The people of God have the promise of blessing. They shall hear in the last day, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." But there is no one who will say to these wicked ones, if God does not turn them, "The blessing of Jehovah be upon you. We bless you in the name of Jehovah." No, there should be a stark curse upon them. So what are we to glean from this, if I may borrow the harvesting image there? And I guess I may, I just did. Why, what we're to glean from that is this, that our Lord Jesus Christ is jealous for his church. He allows her to go through hard times for a time, but in love to her, to prove her and to, well, we might say, smelt out all the impurities. He has promised her that in the world she shall have, and you believers, you have the same promise, in the world you shall have much tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And several years ago, when we were earlier in the book of Psalms, we saw in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Our Lord Jesus endured a far greater persecution. He endured a far deeper cursing. And he did this for the reason that he would deliver his people and keep them and hold them and protect them. He it is who fights for us. He it is who delivers us. You may indeed right now, and if you aren't right now, you shall in the future, be enduring much difficulty. It may feel indeed that you're being plowed over, and maybe it's not merely feeling. But those who hate you shall not prevail. No, rather, your King, your Savior, your husband shall prevail, and he shall bring you safely through. Those who proudly seek to destroy you will wither away uselessly, ashamed and cursed. Well, let us sing now from Psalm 129. It's an old Genevan tune. So this one is maybe not 500 years old, but it's closer to 500 than to 400. And what's even cooler is that the words are given to us, not by a mere earthly composer 400 and some years ago. These date over 2,000, the words do, and they are from God. Let us rejoice in them. Let's sing them. As we see the promises there for the people of God, let's rely upon them in our tough times, knowing that the tough times and the tough persecutors shall not prevail, but Jesus shall. Psalm 129.